It's not like we're going to change and all of a sudden have 50-50 split male to female in IT. But at least if we're measuring it and at least if we're putting the infrastructure in to support it, I think we're going to see change.
I'm Sean Cheatham, the Chief Commercial Officer at Hays, and welcome to How Did You Get That Job? A podcast which explores the secrets behind career success in the tech industry. In this episode, we meet Barbara Scarrett, who is the IT Director for EMEA at Icon. Barbara is fairly new to her role as IT Director, so we'll be chatting to her about her experiences so far, what she has learned, and how did she get that job. We'll go on to discuss the imposter syndrome, her work leading a woman in IT group, and how she is striving for dyslexia to not be a hindrance to someone's opportunities. So Barbara, you've worked at Icon for almost 23 years. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit more about Icon and what they look to achieve?
So I'm going to make myself old now. It's not actually 23 years. I started in Icon in 1993, and Icon was a startup back then. I joined basically straight after I'd left college and I'd just completed a diploma. So I took whatever job I could get at that point, because back in the 1990s in Dublin, there wasn't really a huge amount of jobs. So I was lucky enough to get a job with Icon. I was there till 1997, worked in various roles, got lots of opportunities, even in 4.5 years for, you know, a young girl just starting out. I think I was probably the youngest person there. I got an offer in 1997 by a rival, which almost doubled my salary. And that's not saying much, because back then we weren't paid a huge amount. But I moved and I came back in 2000 because I missed it. I missed Icon. I missed the people. A lot of my friends were there. I remember when I came back and one of the owners, Ronan, sent me an email. You know, the grass isn't always greener. And he was dead right. It wasn't. I was delighted to be back. I've worked there since 2000 and I have worked in various positions since then in Icon.
And most recently, you've taken on the role of IT Director for EMEA. I mean, tell our listeners more about that role and your responsibilities.
As I said, I have a varied career. I started off in data management and I primarily had roles in data management throughout that time up until about, I'd say about 2013. And then I moved into a more progressive area where we collect data directly from patients. From then on, I really had an interest in how can we make clinical trials more accessible for participants. And that in a way has led me to the role where I am today. My role as IT director, I am head of product for our newest product, which is Icon's digital platform. And you may have heard of COVID.
Slightly,
yeah. I'm not even going to spend a lot of time talking about COVID, but back in 2013, 2014, I was working on vendor platforms where we would use their platforms to collect data directly from patients using patient-reported outcomes, so kind of surveys and things like that, and also collecting data using wearables. And that, in a sense, was the groundwork that we had to do in order to produce the evidence that it is acceptable to collect data direct from participants for clinical trials, because we work in a highly regulated industry. So shoot on to 2020, there was a huge pivot. We had to collect data, you know, from a decentralized perspective. Following that, my interest really re-peaked again, because I had moved into other areas such as data and applied analytics and innovation. And with this product, we are now building our own product to collect data from participants and from sites in a decentralized way.
Well, you've talked a little bit about how you've kind of moved into the role, but tell our listeners, Barbara, I mean, so how did you get that job?
I asked for it.
Okay.
That sounds very simple. What happened was I was in the innovation team, which I love. It was a great team to be in. But I realized how much I loved leading people again and actually working with people towards a common goal, providing that kind of vision that helps them to achieve their own goals. So within, I think, about 2 months, I'd moved teams and I moved into the team that were developing the product. It's not only a huge honor, it's a big challenge, but I'm also blessed with the fact that I've got an amazing team underneath me. to be able to lead people who are so enthusiastic and experienced, to me, is a real honor. Like, I am learning from them all the time. So that is simply, yes, I asked for it. And that's how I got the job. I asked for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you don't ask, you don't get, right?
Well, that's it. And I say that to a lot of the women that I speak to and encourage, is you've got to ask. You know, nobody is going to come and ask you, do you want this job? Do you want this challenge? If you don't ask, you'll never know, and you'll never be given the opportunities if you don't ask. And I say the same to my own children, you know, you can ask, but...
The worst I can say is no.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, totally. So how do you know what success looks like in your role?
You know, I thought about this, and for me, success is small wins all the time so that you feel like you're progressing. I know where I want to go, say, with this product, and it'll be great. That'll be success of when we deliver this product and we deliver it really well. But success for me on a personal level is, you know, those small wins. When you know that your team are behind you and they know you're doing a good job, those type of things are really important, because it's a long road that you have in your career. And to get those small little wins all the time just means that you're progressing slowly, but you're getting there surely. So that's kind of what success means to me.
Listeners, did you know that 44% of professionals within the tech industry started their career in a non-tech environment before moving to tech? If you're thinking about joining the tech industry, or indeed looking for a new challenge in the industry, then I can point you in the direction of our most recent podcast episode called Finding a Tech Job in 2023. Where my colleague James Milligan and I pore over an article which analyzes the most in-demand tech roles this year. We also look at some tips on how you can make your experiences shine and look back at past episodes for guidance and wisdom from our guests. Barbara, this is the part of the podcast where we want to talk a little bit more about you. When we first met, you spoke about functional roles within tech and how you consider yourself in tech, but not a techie. Tell our listeners a little bit more about that.
In the last couple of years, I've really considered myself as a woman in technology, probably more since I set up my Women in Technology group. But as I reflect over my career, I've been in data management since I was 20. And I used to build databases, albeit the technology wasn't as good as it is today. I wrote code badly. I was very good at copying other people's code, but actually somebody asked me to do it. But that was all self-learned, you know. But I never considered myself technical because I didn't go to college and did a technical degree. I was self-learned DBA. I was a self-learned programmer. You know, everything was self-learned through my job because you just had to learn how to do things. So when I say over the last few years, I've kind of seen it more as, yes, I am a woman in tech. I think back in 2015, an old boss of mine said to me, Barbara, you know, you should go back and do a master's or, you know, get a degree because it will really stand to you. So I really didn't actually want to, if I'm being honest, but I applied and I was going to do a degree in project management because I did project management and I thought that would be nice and easy, tick a box and it'll be fine. But the college offered me an MBA and it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I just loved it. Like, I absolutely loved it. And I think it was through that that I really started to recognize that I was a woman in technology. You know, I've been in technology over the last 30 years. But I think the thing, as I said, held me back in my head was I didn't have the degree. I didn't have the piece of paper. You know, I see it as more of a positive now because I think with people who are just pure technology and don't have the business background are probably not as strong as having a business background, because I understand the problems that the business have because I've worked in them. And I have enough, as they say, technical knowledge to make myself dangerous to be able to translate that for the engineers.
We've had quite a few guests on the podcast that have talked about not coming from a technical background and really that imposter syndrome. I mean, what would you say to listeners right now, or perhaps are feeling that same weight? What advice would you give them?
Well, the first bit of advice I would give them is imposter syndrome. I used to look at as a real negative connotation, but actually I've turned that on its head and realized that my imposter syndrome throughout the years actually made me work harder and made me research more and made me prepare more. So I always felt I wasn't good enough because I joined a clinical research company without a degree, without a master's. I was hiring people with master's and PhDs, and I thought, these people are better than me, you know, because they've gone to college. I think when I went and did my MBA and kind of sailed through it without sounding a bit too big-headed, I realized that I was good enough. And I would say to people who feel that imposter syndrome, and a lot of people do, I think they say women probably feel it more, but I think everybody feels a bit of imposter syndrome. So I think use it to your advantage, and you will use that because you will be able to understand things better. I think the other thing as well is it's not a bad thing. Like, imposter syndrome isn't a bad thing. It's just there. We all feel it. It's around our confidence. I think believe in yourself. You are good enough. When you go into a new job, when you get a promotion, you're not meant to know everything. The whole point is that you're learning, you're growing. If you are in a job and you know everything, you're not pushing yourself. You're still there in the same skin. Whereas when you go into a new position, like the new position that I'm in, I'm stretching myself all the time. There's been positions that I've been in where I've woken up and I've gone, oh my God, what am I going to do? I've got this meeting in front of me, you know, where I've got to know this. And you get through it and you live to see another day. So I would just say everybody has it and just work through it.
Yeah, I think it's great advice. I mean, you use it as fuel as opposed to disabling you, right?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I definitely think it is something that will help you. I think the only thing is, one thing I have learned, and it's something that I've brought into ICON. I worked with Google, and one of the people I met there who became a bit of a friend, he introduced me through their I Am Remarkable program. And their I Am Remarkable program is for women in underrepresented groups. And it's a workshop which helps both women and men and underrepresented groups to actually learn how to take their accomplishments, so own their accomplishments, and to self-promote. So it's very important when you are doing your job to understand that we all think that this is what we do. It's very important to be able to promote the work that we do. So they say that, you know, if you can promote yourself, you are twice as likely to get a promotion. So it's very important to make sure that your accomplishments are heard, both by your team and your management and up above. And don't assume that someone else is going to come along and just notice all the work that you're doing. So you've got to be able to self-promote. And unfortunately, when you self-promote, sometimes the women, they don't like women self-promoting. It's seen that, you know, you're bragging or whatever. But, you know, what this course kind of gives you is that the understanding and the ability to be able to do that self-promotion and understand how important it is. So I've rolled that out within ICON. We've probably between 12 and 15 facilitators now. I also encourage it in other groups as well. I work with colleges. I've rolled it out to a female founders group that I'm on the board of. And I just think it's really helped a lot of people.
Well, in addition to your day job, you actually founded and actively lead a woman in IT group based around diversity and inclusion. I mean, tell us a little bit more about that group, some of the achievements that you've had.
I've been a diversity and inclusion advocate probably since back in 2019. And we call it diversity, inclusion, and belonging because I think once you belong somewhere, you can really be yourself. So I was part of the networking organization of women, organized a lot of events within ICON for International Women's Day. And it was at one of these events, it was last year's International Women's Day, that I approached once again the CIO and asked him if I could set up a women in technology group. Of course, he said, yes, knock yourself out. And I said, right, I'll be back to you now with the charter. So 3 weeks later, I was sitting in front of him with another lady and we had worked out our whole charter for the women in technology. And the women in technology, we'd kind of seen under three headings of professional development. We thought about how would we deliver on these? So what would enable us to be successful and how would we measure ourselves? He was really happy with it. Go out there, do whatever you need to do. All these initiatives are in our own time. I think within 8 months, we set up the charter, we went global, and we'd representatives both in US, Asia Pac, and EMEA. And the reason we did that is because we think global, but we act local. So different regions have different requirements, and we need to be able to allow the regions to act the way they see best. We develop all of our own branding. So if you look at my LinkedIn page, you can see the branding that we've done. We came up with a newsletter. So we've podcasts too, where we interview our senior leadership. We have won awards. So again, this is all about giving women the ability to be able to promote themselves, both through the newsletters, telling people what they've done, encouraging them to present, to go out to conferences and present and get their work out there. We've been integral as part of the mentoring program within ICON. So we helped them to develop that. Another thing that we've done is we have our own metric set. So we measure things like the male to female ratio, but we also go all down through the levels. So we understand how many male or females are under each of our senior leaders, how many are in each of the countries. We look at attrition rates. I'm working with HR to bring in 15 graduate positions because we want to be able to bring people up through the organization. One of the problems I think we have in IT specifically, not just in my area, but all over, is that women are getting to a certain level, but we're not seeing the women going up to the higher levels for various different reasons. So what we want to do is we want to shine a light on that and hold people accountable for it. So I'm working with HR, making sure that there's female and male representation. We have male advocates on our steering committee because we don't want to be seen as this woman's group. Okay. We want to make sure that we are bringing men with us and that we understand what the issues for men are as well when they're hiring women or trying to help. Like, what are the areas that they can learn more from? As I said, it's probably one of the areas that I'm kind of most proud of on what we've achieved, but I do see it as a very long-term project and something that younger women coming in and helping to push. It's not like we're going to change and all of a sudden have 50-50 split male to female in IT. That's going to take a number of years. But at least if we're measuring it and at least if we're putting the infrastructure in to support it, educating the women as to what they need to do, like ask for what you want, I think we're going to see change.
You mentioned the lack of equality from women in senior leadership roles. That's all of tech for the most part. Do you think part of the challenge, if you're a woman and you're looking at what do I want to do with my life, and you look at the tech industry and you go, well, I'm only going to be able to get to this level, and that's probably about it because doing my homework and I'm looking at all these companies and really it's very male dominated. Because there aren't a lot of women in tech. The numbers are not 50-50, as you say. They're a long way off. Is that part of the problem? Is it that they don't see the opportunity to like really grow?
I think it stems right from when women are children. I think it works all the way up to college. So again, if you can't see it, you can't be it. We need to see more women in higher positions. We need to make it easier for women to actually work in tech. We need to see women have the confidence to be able to work in a male-dominated arena. I'm lucky in a sense. I came from a family of five boys and one girl. So I've always been used to dealing with guys, but it's not like that for everybody. So as I said, there is a lot that we need to change and it's going to take time and it's going to take small initiatives and small successes, but over a long period of time. But it would be good to see those women move up through the organization. That is important.
Do you think the fact that you've had that longevity with ICON, does that make it easier for you, you think, your longevity in the organization?
Maybe, yeah. I suspect so. Like, I'm not the type of person who's afraid to reach out to somebody if I need something done. I guess that comes with maybe age, maybe confidence, or
sure,
maybe just stupidity.
Okay. Now, you also speak out to the tech community about dyslexia. I mean, share with our listeners your motivation around this.
Okay, so I have two beautiful daughters. I have two stepchildren as well. My youngest daughter has dyslexia. She is so amazing. Like, she's so curious. She works so hard. Like, she's such a hard worker. And what I've seen over the last few years is she probably won't get the same opportunities as others because the school system doesn't align with her capabilities. You'll have heard people call about dyslexia their superpower. That's what we call it. you know, with Grace. And she truly is a self-starter, somebody who will go out there and I'm sure will be incredibly successful. But what I'm seeing is that we expect people to go to college, get a degree, get a master's. And I mean, it's not even enough that they get a degree now. Now it's the expectation you get a master's and maybe a PhD before you're considered for a job. And I just think we're excluding really good candidates because either A, they haven't got the opportunity, or it just doesn't suit them to go that route. And in technology and innovation side of technology, we need those curious people. We need those people who will think outside the box. And look, you know, I was lucky enough. I joined Icon as a startup. I didn't have a degree. I wouldn't get a job in a lot of places now. They would have expected you to have a degree or a master's. I don't think I'm any less able than anybody else. And I certainly don't think my daughter is. So I would really like to see a change. And I think there is a change. You'll see it on LinkedIn. There's a group called Made by Dyslexia, supported by the likes of Richard Branson and other famous dyslexic people. And I think we need to change the narrative there. Again, it's going to be a long road, I suspect.
So Barbara, this is the part where we like to gaze into the future and see how the industry could change. What do you think the tech industry could do better?
I definitely think what we've spoken about is the lack of diversity. So the lack of how do we encourage women into tech? I would like to see that we start educating the colleges, encouraging more women to go into technology and encouraging them to stay in technology. Because what we see in some of the STEM subjects is as they move through college, there's dropout. So less women will go into maybe doing a master's. They'll drop out there. I think also we need to look at why are women dropping out maybe after they've had children? I was very lucky in my home life that I've always had very good support systems. When I had my children, I was able to go part-time for a number of years. So I felt I couldn't give 100% to both, and I wasn't prepared to not give 100% to my children. So once again, Icon stepped in and helped me and allowed me to go part-time and then ramp up my career when I chose to do it. I think other companies need to look at that. I didn't realize, for example, that in the US, there is very short maternity leaves. We get nearly a year off. If you want it, you could book a year off. I think it's important to understand that if you want to have gender equality, you have got to be able to offer things to women. And for equity, like you look at equity as like you give everybody a pair of shoes, or equality is you give everybody shoes. Equity is making sure that you give them shoes that fit. So we've got to look at why are women leaving technology and how can we encourage them to stay and make it easier for them to stay? You know, work from home, I think, is probably part of that, albeit I do enjoy being in the office as well as working from home. So there's a number of things that I think we need to look at. I can safely say that Icon is very on board with a lot of initiatives that help to encourage women into the office. But in general, how do we get more people? I think it's a very exciting area for kids to get into. I don't see it as particularly a problem of encouraging younger people into technology. I think we have quite a lot of people encouraged to.
They're already there.
They're there. But this is probably not going to be very popular. But
it's okay. We like unpopular too.
Some companies pay a lot of money. And I think people get into jobs for the wrong reasons. So technology in some areas is paid very well. That encourages, I presume, people to come into it. But how do we encourage people to stay? I think you have to make sure that you have the right frameworks for them to be able to work. So for women, that is, how do we get them in? How do we keep them when they have to go off? I mean, we're the only ones that can have babies. You guys can't do it. So, you know, help us out here. Make it easier.
I'm not touching that one. So,
yeah. Well, you know, and the other thing is women tend to stay longer. I've seen it. Like women, when they go into jobs, they will stay longer. You will get more tenure out of them.
Sure. So when you hire, what do you look for in an individual?
Very simple. Attitude. If I'm not hiring for a specific, like say an engineer, obviously, you know, an engineer has to have certain credentials. But the last two people I hired were based on attitude, based on what I knew they could do. The last one in particular. I think you can teach anything else. But if someone hasn't got the right attitude or won't align with the values of the organization, then it's going to be a tough road for the 2E. I like to make sure that they're a good fit, that they understand what we're trying to achieve, and that they want to be here, to be part of the ride.
As a person whose life has pretty much been around interviewing people, I've always found that attitude, to your point, very important. You know, it's like probably the most critical part, but it's also one of the ones that I found very difficult to really truly understand somebody's attitude in interviews. Is there any tips that you have or anything that you do that's unique that helps you understand somebody's attitude?
I do tend to try and hire people I would either know or I think it's a gut feeling.
Yeah.
If I feel that it's really hard. I think it's a gut feeling more so than anything else when you don't know them.
Yeah.
When you know or know of somebody and maybe they don't have all of the skill set that you have, but they've got something that's transferable and you know that they will deliver and that they'll be the one staying late with you if something is needed, then you can work around anything if you've got somebody who'll stay in the trenches with you while you're trying to do something.
Yeah, totally agree. It's the hard part is finding that person who's willing to do that too. So
yeah.
And finally, Barbara, I mean, what are your long-term aims, aspirations for yourself?
I mean, obviously the women in technology is dear to my heart. I really want to see that not through because I think it's something that's going to take a long time. I will be finished my working life, but I would like to stay on and guide and make sure that the reins are being handed over to the right people so that we can continue the journey towards equality and equity for women in technology. And then for my own career, again, as I was saying, like I have that growth mindset. It will always be for me about learning. It will always be for me about how can I be better at the job that I'm doing. And there's lots of opportunities within clinical research. Technology is only going to make clinical research better. And you'll always need people there. So technology will not replace people. AI won't replace people because you're still going to need the human in the loop all the time. It's the last, I guess, the last probably 15 years of my career are coming up and I want to make sure I make the most of them. Yeah. And have fun.
Barbara, it's been great. You've been fantastic. I really appreciate you being on the podcast.
No, I really appreciate you asking me and thanks.
That was Barbara Skerritt, the IT director for EMEA at ICON. So listening to Barbara, I really like how she spoke about be yourself and be okay with it. And she also embraces the imposter syndrome as a motivator instead of a hindrance. We haven't talked about dyslexia on this podcast before, but this is just another example of how the tech industry needs to be more inclusive instead of just focusing on someone's academic achievement within tech. And finally, when Barbara looks for people for her own team, it's all about the attitude of the individual. This is just another example that I tell candidates, you have to be yourself when you're interviewing. I'm Sean Cheatham, the Chief Commercial Officer at Hays, and you've been listening to How Did You Get That Job? Join us next time where we meet yet another expert from the world of tech to give their secrets behind success. In the meantime, to find out more about Hays, visit our website, expertsintechnology.hays.com. And to never miss an episode, make sure you hit follow wherever you get your podcasts.